Let's read together Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Now, in this first half of the chapter, we have Habakkuk's first question and God's first answer concerning the problem of evil. Habakkuk chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards and more fierce than evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. They all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. They scoff at kings, and princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold, for they heap up earthen mounds and seize it. Then his mind changes, and he transgresses. He commits offense, ascribing this power to his God. Let's begin this first half of Habakkuk chapter 1 with some background notes. As we begin our study of Habakkuk, the first question that comes to your mind is, how do you pronounce Habakkuk anyway? How you pronounce Habakkuk's name is really not that important. Some of you like Habakkuk. That's the way I learned it way back in Sunday school days. But now I use Habakkuk because that's closer to the Hebrew pronunciation. But it really doesn't make much difference. We don't know a lot about the prophet Habakkuk as to his place of origin and his call to the ministry. But we do know quite a bit about his times in Judah's history. Habakkuk was a pre-exilic prophet, that is, before the exile of the Jewish people in Babylon. And it seems that he prophesied a short time before Nebuchadnezzar's first attack on Jerusalem, which was in 605 BC. That's when Daniel and other noble youths were taken away as captives to Babylon. Habakkuk was a contemporary of the prophet Jeremiah. And probably he heard Jeremiah preach in Jerusalem. Habakkuk's main concern was that as he looked around him, he saw unchecked and unjudged evil. Look again at verses 3 and 4. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. The wicked were getting away with their iniquity and violence. There didn't seem to be any justice. The righteous were suffering. How could God allow this? Why didn't God do something? You ever have that same question? You see wickedness all around you. The righteous are suffering. The wicked are prospering. How can a holy God let evil go unpunished? Why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? Well, read and study the book of Habakkuk to get some answers for this question. Habakkuk did the right thing concerning his questions. He went directly to the Lord and expressed his concern. Why, Lord? Why do you allow this? Why don't you do something? Well, the Lord answered Habakkuk's question by telling him that he was doing something. He was about to discipline Judah by bringing up the Babylonians. That's the Chaldeans there in verse 6. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. Verse 7, they are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. That is, they are a law unto themselves. The Chaldeans or the Babylonians would come up and besiege Jerusalem. The end of verse 10 is in reference to the earthen siege mounds or ramps that the Babylonians would build to overcome the walls of Jerusalem and take the city. Look there at verse 10, where they heap up earthen mounds and seize it. Archaeology has confirmed this Babylonian siege of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. We even have arrowheads from the battle in 586 BC. So God is informing Habakkuk that the evil conditions in Judah would not go on much longer. The Babylonians would come up and God would use them to discipline and punish Judah. Now Habakkuk is even more concerned and confused. How can a holy God allow the pagan Babylonians to discipline his own people? Now we'll look at that second question. Everybody follow where Habakkuk is going with a second question now? I mean, after all, Judah is bad, they're evil, but the Babylonians, they're pagans. So Habakkuk wants answers, but he can't understand exactly what God is answering here. How can a holy God allow the pagan Babylonians to discipline his own people? So we'll look at that second question in the second half of the chapter. But right now, let's take a couple of doctrinal or teaching points from Habakkuk's first question and God's first answer. Doctrinal point number one, there is the legitimate question concerning evil. There is the legitimate question concerning evil. The problem of evil is sometimes called the Achilles heel of the Christian faith. The question of evil does not have a simple answer. That is, if God is all good and the creator of everything, then where could evil come from? And if God is all powerful, then why does evil continue? The answer to these questions is not as simple and easy as you might think. So there is the legitimate question concerning evil. Don't think you're a heretic if you wondered how an all-good and an all-powerful God can allow evil. Anybody had that question before? So you're not a heretic if you've wondered that, right? Habakkuk had this basic question, and he cried out to God for an answer. Again, verse 2 and 3. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? And even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? It was not wrong for Habakkuk to ask God for an answer. This was not a bad attitude on Habakkuk's part. He was not a skeptic. He was not a critic. Because there is the legitimate question concerning evil. You know, one of the courses I teach at Emmaus Bible College is Christian Evidences. Christian Evidences is a branch of apologetics, which has to do with defending the Christian faith. And every year, the same question comes up, even before we get to a formal presentation of the answer. How can an all-good and an all-powerful God allow evil? This is a legitimate question. So don't feel bad if this question has bothered you. There is the legitimate question concerning evil. And doctrinal point number two, God uses evil to punish evil. God uses evil to punish evil. The answer to the question of how a good God and an all-powerful God can allow evil and violence is multifaceted. That is, there is more than one reason why God allows evil and violence to go on at the present time. One of those reasons is given right here in these verses, in God's answer to Habakkuk's first question. What is it? God uses evil to punish evil. We see this truth taught here in God's answer to Habakkuk. The Lord told Habakkuk that he was going to punish the nation of Judah for their evil ways, but he was going to do it by using the evil ways of the Babylonian Empire. The Babylonians wrongly took over land that did not belong to them. Verse 6. The Babylonians were a law unto themselves. Verse 7. The Babylonians used violence and did not respect authority. Verses 9 and 10. And the Babylonians were a guilty pagan people. Verse 11. Now, some of your translations are a little different here in verse 11, but the main point of the passage is obvious. God was going to use the evil of the Babylonians to punish the evil of the nation of Judah. So God uses evil to punish evil. And this truth is certainly taught throughout the rest of the Bible. Look at the book of Judges. God was constantly using the evil of the surrounding pagan nations to punish the evil of Israel. And look at how God used the pagan Roman Empire to punish the evil of the Jewish nation for rejecting Christ. So God can use evil to punish evil, whether it be the evil of a nation or the evil of an individual person. And this in no way infringes on God's holiness. Galatians 6:7 says, "Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." If an individual sows evil, God will see to it that that individual will reap evil. Again, this does not take away from God's holy character. In fact, Psalm 76, verse 10 says that God makes the wrath of man to praise him. When all is said and done, the evil of man actually brings praise to God. It's a tough concept to grasp at first, but this is certainly what the Bible teaches. Let me ask you, has God ever used the evil of mankind to punish and discipline you? Maybe some unfair treatment or other evil deed has been perpetrated upon you? What was the result? Hopefully you learned your lesson and stopped sinning and ended up praising God. God uses evil to punish evil. Well, what about practical application from this first half of Habakkuk 1? Practical application. It's not wrong to question God in the right way. It's not wrong to question God in the right way. Question. Is it wrong to question God? Answer. Yes and no. Yes, it is wrong to question God in the wrong way. But no, it's not wrong to question God in the right way. So what's the difference? The right way and the wrong way. The wrong way to question God is to question God's ways with the attitude that God is not doing the right thing, that God is somehow unjust or unfair or wrong in some way. That's the wrong way to question God. But it's not wrong to question God in the right way. If you come to God with the right attitude of needing answers to your hard questions, that's not wrong. You're not questioning God's ways and you're not telling God that he's wrong. No, you're just seeking answers to your questions. The question of how an all-good and all-powerful God can allow evil is a hard question for Habakkuk and for us. Habakkuk came with the right attitude and asked God for some answers, and God gave him answers. Habakkuk did not come as a skeptic or as a critic or as a doubter or as an accuser. No, he came with the right attitude. Do you have any hard questions that need some answers? Maybe even this question about why God allows evil. Maybe you have a hard question in the area of doctrine. Maybe in the way God is allowing certain circumstances in your life right now. Maybe you have some hard questions there. Don't question God's ways or his character. That's wrong. But you can bring these hard questions to God for answers. There are answers to the hard questions, and God will answer you in his own time and way. It's not wrong to question God in the right way.